Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
There are many traditional tales of the sea. That's to say, stories which have been handed down from generation to generation of sailors. And it's one of these which I'm going to tell you tonight. It's an old favorite, and it's said to have taken place in the 18th century. The ship in question was the Seagull, whose master was a Captain Rennick. And amongst the crew was Mr. Hockington, the ship's carpenter. He had been at sea for over 40 years, and he wasn't an easy man to miss, for he was over 2 meters in height and almost as broad as he was long. A giant of a man. But as is often the case, a very good-natured and gentle fellow, extremely popular with all on board. I've called the story Two Bells.
Sentry, though 'tis a poor one you have there.
The one of the lantern's so discoloured, the light hardly shows through.
Your candle wants snuffing, Tom, or maybe a new one would be a better idea. Anyway, I managed to light mine from it, and that's all I wanted. That was Two Bells. Time for me to rouse myself for the morning watch.
Only another dozen or so morning watches, and we'll be back in port, Mr. Hawkinson.
Aye.
We've been lucky. Fair winds behind us all the way.
Tis a brave fellow tempts providence, Tom, and no one on board will thank you for doing it. Quickest way to bring misfortune is to count your chickens before they're hatched. And if there's one thing I've learnt in over 40 years at sea, tis never believe yourself home till the ship's tied up in the harbour and your boots are echoing on the cobblestones. You mark my words, Tom. Tis them that tempts providence who never sees their homes again. And more often as not, the old crew suffers with them.
I didn't mean anything by what I said. It's just that we've been making such good headway and...
Careful, Tom. Careful. Tis the thoughtless word that can cause the damage. Now, you take my advice. The closer we get to home, the less you should say about it. That's the best way to avoid sudden misfortune.
Like most sailors of his day, Mr. Hockington was superstitious. And on this particular voyage, he was being even more cautious than usual. For this was to be his last trip, and he dreamed of retiring to a little cottage, which he would buy with the money he'd painstakingly saved over the years. And because his dream was so near to realization, he was almost afraid to speak of it, lest a careless word should tempt providence.
Morning, Mr. Hockington.
Morning, Sam.
And a fine morning it is.
Tis indeed. Tis indeed.
We were just talking about you, Mr. Hockington.
Were you now?
We were saying how strange it would be on board without you.
Oh.
And you, there'd be a lot more room.
All the jokes about my height and weight have been told long since, Sam. I've heard them all 100 times over, every one of them.
I suppose you have at that on every ship you've ever sailed on, and you've sailed on many.
A goodly few over the years, a goodly few.
And this is to be the last. Do you think you'll be able to settle in a cottage growing roses, Mr. Hockington?
If we reach port, and if I find the place I have in mind, I think I could settle down nicely, Sam.
Ah, lots of men have thought so and said so. But when the time came and they found themselves anchored to one spot, then it was a different story. And maybe it'll be the same for you. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if the voyage after next we saw you coming up the gangplank with the same old chalk line hanging out of your pocket.
You know better than to speak about the voyage after next, Sam, when we haven't reached the end of this world.
Just a turn of phrase, Mr. Hawkinson, just a turn of phrase.
I don't like it.
What I'm really saying is that I can't picture you sitting content in a country cottage while there are ships sailing on the sea.
Why not?
In your nature. You're a seaman, born and bred, and you can't change the habits of a lifetime, not while you've spilled your health and strength.
Oh, but a man gets tired after 40 years, Sam.
You tired? Only last week you picked up Billy Squires under your right arm and Barney O'Reilly under your left and carried them all round the deck.
But it's not that kind of tiredness I'm talking about, Sam. I haven't lost the strength of my limbs, but there's a weariness inside me that's suddenly come on me in the last 2 or 3 days. Oh, maybe it's because the image of that cottage has been growing clear in my mind. Maybe it's calling me to come and rest. All I know is that today I'm feeling more tired than I've ever done in my life before.
In all the time I've known you, I've never heard you complain of tiredness.
Oh, well, now you have, because 'tis the truth. And if Providence sees fit to land us safe in port, I'll find that cottage, and it'll be my own harbor, a quiet haven, where I can spend the rest of my days.
And no ship's bells to call you to watch?
Oh, no. No ship's bells. A little cottage and a bit of garden with only the sound of birdsong on the still air. A quiet place where I can sit at peace and sleep.
Sam was very disturbed after his conversation with the ship's carpenter, for he had never heard Mr. Hawkington speak in such a manner before. Despite the fact that he was getting on in years, he was famed for his prodigious strength, and to hear this gentle giant complain of weariness was so far out of the ordinary as to cause consternation.
It isn't natural for Mr. Hawkington to talk like that. I only hope it isn't some kind of omen.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's had a premonition.
Why'd you say that?
Oh, I don't know exactly. Except that this morning he was warning me against tempting Providence.
And how did that come about?
Well, I was saying that we'd been lucky with the weather and that it wouldn't be long before we reached port.
Oh, no wonder he warned you. A man who calls himself lucky before he's in harbor is asking for trouble. You've been at sea long enough to have learned that.
Yeah, but I didn't mean anything by it, Sam.
Then you shouldn't have said it. Always remember that many a good ship's foundered with the lights of port in sight. It's happened to better men than us, and I've no doubt it'll happen to many more. But if Mr. Hawkington had a premonition of some kind, he'd surely have mentioned it.
Ah, you'd think he would have done. Unless he didn't want anyone to worry with it.
He's gone along to his cabin now. Maybe we should go and have a word with him. If a man suddenly speaks like he's never spoken before, there has to be a reason for it. Yes, we'll go and have a word with him. Mr. Hawkington? Mr. Hawkington? There, so why doesn't he answer?
Maybe he's asleep.
Oh, he doesn't sleep at this time of day. Mr. Hawkington, are you there?
He is asleep.
Are you all right, Mr. Hawkington? Tom, get the ship's doctor. Get him down here right away.
Mr.
sure enough, Sam. Not for the whole ship, but for himself.
That's why he was speaking so strangely. And there was I saying to him there wouldn't be the same on board without him. And him talking about his cottage and the quiet and peace of it. Well, the grave is quiet and peaceful, and at least he'll have that much. For we're so near port that the captain has decided against burying him at sea.
So he'll reach port after all?
Barring unexpected storms or other catastrophes. He told you and I've told you, don't tempt Providence.
All I meant was that if the ship...
Learn to say what you mean and think before you speak. It's people like you that bring bad luck to a ship. Believe me when I tell you that no ship's safe until she's in harbour.
Yeah, but I never said that I didn't believe you.
No, but you kept talking about reaching port for a certain the storm I teach you that nothing's certain at sea. Nothing.
But you can't blame me for the storm.
If it gets any worse, the whole crew will be blaming you.
You, Sam?
Yeah, it's me. Keeping a watch on Mr. Orkington's cabin, are you?
It's my spell of duty.
Aye, what a shame it is. Now that we've been blown off course, he's to be buried at sea after all.
Tomorrow morning.
And at the end, not even a bit of earth for his own. No cottage, no birds singing. Yet he spent all his life at sea. So maybe at 6½ a dozen... Maybe you'll rest as peacefully beneath the waves as under the green grass.
I hope so, Sam. I hope so. Standing here keeping watch, I've been thinking about him and the last talk we had together. He wouldn't blame me that he didn't reach port, would he?
Mr. Orkington was one of the kindliest men alive, and there's no reason to suppose he'd be any different dead.
No, you're right. It's just that, well... It's lonely standing here, knowing that he's lying there inside the cabin.
Here, give us a light, Sentry. That was two bells. Time for me to rail myself for the morning watch.
Sam!
Yeah, what's the matter with you? Get your breath back.
His ghost is walking.
What did you say?
The carpenter's ghost. I saw it. We were wrong. He does blame me for not reaching port.
Oh, now, steady on there. You say you've seen Mr. Orkington's ghost.
Yes, it was him, Sam. I swear it.
Maybe you fell asleep and dreamed it, Tom.
I was wide awake.
Well, maybe what someone else you saw and mistook him for Mr. Orkington.
How could I mistake anyone else for Mr. Orkington? There's no man aboard near his size. No one could mistake him.
Well, that's true enough. But he's not the kind of man would come back and haunt anyone.
Here he comes.
Oh, it is him. There's no mistaking his height and build. And he's wearing his hat. And there's a chalk line hanging out of his pocket.
I told you. I told you.
But he wouldn't harm me. Why would he harm me?
What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Mr. Orkington, is that you?
Morning, Sam.
Oh!
Sam! Sam?
Well, you two men seem to be sober enough.
Sir, we were telling you the truth, sir. We both saw him.
It's true, Captain. On my life, it's true. Mr. Orkington is walking the deck.
Oh, well then. If that's his pleasure, let him walk. Oh,
Captain, sir, I know you think that we've imagined it, but we're speaking the truth, and you can prove it for yourself. Okay. He's walking the forecastle, sir.
All right. I will prove it for myself. Come along with me.
There he is, Captain.
Well, it is the ship's carpenter. Mr. Hawkington?
Sir?
Oh,
you to see where you are.
I froze.
Sir? You're causing a disturbance on the deck, Mr. Hawkington.
Disturbance, sir? Oh, not I, sir. Though there is something strange going on. Mm. I hear two bells, sir, which is my time to turn out for morning watch. So, as usual, I open my door and ask the sentry to light my candle. And at that, he screamed and threw down his lantern. It went out, and I was left to fumble in the dark and make ready as best I could.
But you shouldn't be on deck. You're to be buried this morning.
What?
Oh, it's customary to bury the dead, Mr. Hawkington.
But I'm not dead. I've never felt better in my life. Oh, yesterday now, I was as tired as I've ever been. But this morning, I woke up feeling as fit as a fiddle.
But you've been lying dead in your cabin for the past 3 days.
Well, if he's a phantom, he's a strong and healthy one.
Oh, Captain, sir, would you please explain to me what's going on?
I'm not quite sure myself, Mr. Hawkington, but I think the ship's doctor has made a slight error. We'd better have a word with him.
It seems that the tiredness which Mr. Hawkington had experienced preceded some kind of trance, which the ship's doctor mistook for death. And he came to his senses just in time to avoid being buried at sea, and thereby drowned. When he woke and heard two bells strike, he followed his normal custom of calling for a light, and unwittingly caused great consternation. As I told you at the beginning, this is an old sea story which has been handed down through the years, and is genuinely supposed to have happened. Though no one seems to know whether Mr. Hawkington did find his dream cottage. I hope he did.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botman.